Thanks for checking out Taste of Country Nights on Demand. It's Evan Paul, your host. And this episode, we talked to a country newcomer, Ty Myers, who is taking over. A lot of people are talking about him. He's going viral on the internet with every song that he puts out. We got that. Plus, we're going to enjoy a throwback interview from July 8th, 2024 with Dasha when she first came on the scene. Ty Myers.
What's up? Thank y'all for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Of course, man. I'm excited to have you here, man. Your stuff is blowing up. You just put out your sophomore album.
Yeah.
What's the fan reaction been like so far? Have you played live shows since?
Yeah, absolutely. They're amazing. The fans are always energetic and loud and happy to be there. They're the best. I think it was a relief. You know, obviously, as an artist, I try to, you know, from album to album, it's only my second album, but, you know, my mindset going into albums is I want it to be different from the last. But along with that, you know, you don't know how people are going to react to that because, you know, they feel an attachment to a sound sometimes. But I haven't really dealt with that. They seem to enjoy it and understand where my brain was at when I was writing it. So that's been pretty much all you can ask for.
Let's talk about Ends of the Earth.
Yes.
Is it about like a certain song, person, or is it a bunch in general? Do they know? Have you had awkward conversations?
No, I have not. At least not with that song. But no, I don't think it was really about anyone in particular. I wasn't with anybody when I wrote it. So maybe a feeling that I had felt before, but not really about anybody in particular. I really was, that song was one of those songs that was less about like a real thing and more about kind of the song itself, you know, like kind of making the music. And, you know, sometimes songs are the other way for me where I have to write about something real and that's kind of like the driving factor for it. But to me, I was trying to write a soul song. And that's kind of where I started from. I had the idea of like, the play on words, like the ends of the earth, end of the earth type of deal. And that's kind of where I built it off of. But not to say that nobody influenced the song, I'm sure.
What about songs that are more or just as autobiographical or whatnot? Mm-hmm. Has any awkward conversations that what song caused it?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Let me think. That's a good one. I'm not really sure. I don't know. I can't really think of any awkward conversations. I don't really write like mean songs about girls or like air stuff out. That's just like, I don't know. That's childish to me. It's like, come on, let's.
So are they thankful? Like, you know?
Yeah, probably. I'm okay. Sure they are. I'm sure they are very thankful. Because I could.
I know. That's very nice of you. Well, people make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
You know? You're doing a good service. Thank you for your service, sir. What's it like opening up for Luke Combs, man?
Oh, my God. It's insane. I mean, dude, it's ridiculous. It's the biggest stage you can get on, right? So, I mean, there's not much more to be said other than, like, it's you're in awe when you walk into the venue every Saturday morning, you know, and you go and do sound check and it's like another like stadium that you grew up watching football games in, you
yeah.
know? And so it's you know, I was a football player. So to me, that's the coolest part. Sometimes you walk out the tunnel that they all walk out of to get to the stadium in the morning. And I'm like I'm all tired. I just woke up. I'm like, barely even like present on earth. And I'm like feeling like the energy of the,
that's so cool. What's it like backstage with Luke? Like, what's he like?
He's just
conversations
just the most normal person ever. I mean, there's nothing like, there's no awkwardness around him. It's very just like a buddy you've known for a long time, you know. And he does such a good job at that. And he does such a good job at, you know, making sure everybody's happy and his crew and his everybody's fantastic. Probably my favorite tour I've ever been on, without a doubt, actually.
Has he given you any advice, or have you picked up anything from how he plays or how he treats his people?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, just the way he runs things, and you know, it reminds me of like great customer service almost. They're like always there, and if you need something, they're very responsive, and you know, nobody's rude, which, you know, on the road with, you know, some tours, there's some rude dudes that hang around, and it's this is something I don't really deal with very well, but you know, they don't have any of that. So it's a fun experience.
And what's it like rolling up to all the buses and like just seeing the magnitude of that compared to where you might have been? You know, you started writing songs when you were 12. Like, what's it like looking back on that and the magnitude of that? What's that feel like?
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I remember watching, you know, Queen, you know, like on video when I was little, and thinking, you know, well, I mean, this is Wembley Stadium. I mean, like, they're Queen. Like, they're gonna. We're doing 3 nights at Wembley Stadium.
That's crazy.
3 nights, and it's like, well, where do you go from there? You know,
right.
Like, I guess headline it, you know. It's wild. And you know, you go backstage, and there's just lines of 18 wheeler trucks.
Yeah,
and it's all matching in the same color. That's pretty cool.
I don't think I've gotten this about Luke Combs from anybody yet. What's his catering like?
They're the best. They're the absolute best. The chef is my boy. He's my boy. You know, I'm going to have to get him to put like my name on it, but he has these roller dogs that he keeps on the whole time. He makes amazing, like high quality 5-course meals, you know, but there's always roller dogs in there at all times of the day. And so me and my buddy, my bass player, Reed, he's one of my best friends. We have started this segment where we'll go on Instagram Live and eat hot dogs and just talk. People are loving it. They're eating it up. It's great. I mean, one of the best parts of the whole tour to me.
Dude, that's awesome. Forget being at Wembley Stadium. Or you're going to get the hot dogs at Wembley.
Oh, yes. I mean, how much better?
It does not get any better than that, bro. You're living it out, man. What's it like going back to your hometown nowadays? Like, like going back for holiday dinners and stuff.
Yeah,
Dripping Springs, Texas.
Yeah. I mean, to me, there's nothing better than going home. I've you know, lived there my whole life, and it's like a breath of fresh air getting back home. But I always tell people, I've always had this thing where maybe it's because I've been there my whole life and I know what everything looks like and where everything is and every street and all that stuff, that there's something like, I'll stay there for like 4 days and there's something like kicking me out the door. Like, all right, like that was great. That was good rest. Now go, you know, and that's kind of like the biggest blessing I feel like somebody in my profession can have, you know. There's something that I just have to, I feel like I'm missing something if I'm not out there, you know. But it's definitely different, you know. All my friends are in college now, so they're not really there as much anymore. But I mean, it's still the same in a way. Obviously, I'll see some middle schoolers though, and the middle school girls that have never seen me before ever, and they're like. And it's just like, it's different in my hometown for that. I feel like people don't care as much as other
places.
They're
about
to.
No, dude.
No. But in a way that they like know me and that they've, you know, seen me around. It's a small town. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like very proud. They have to be very proud.
Very proud. I hear it every other day for sure.
Do you have a sign up or anything?
Oh, yeah. Usually there's a billboard or two.
Yeah. That's
awesome. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. I want back to the album Two Trains. What was it like working with Marcus King?
Oh, he's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just ridiculously talented. I mean, I knew that. I had been listening to him for a long time. Once I got the opportunity to write with him, I was like, absolutely. He was in Austin, and we met there. That was the first time we met, and we wrote. And we just talked for a while that day, you know, because he started at a young age, like I did. And there's so much you learn from that, and there's so much that we related to about that. You know, you grow up fast, and so we talked for a while, and just about funny stuff, serious stuff, lesson stuff, all sorts of stuff, and and you know, we just connected really. And when I was making the album, I on my first album, I did a John Mayer cover because that's kind of where my head was at.
Yeah.
While I was writing the album, and I wanted to do the same thing for this album, and I once I figured out I want to do a Little Feat song, because that I was that's all I was listening to while I was writing this album. They kind of took everything I wanted to encapsulate. That was their sound, you know, and that I really fell in love with them while I was making this album. But I wanted somebody else to be on it with me, and he's the first person that came to mind. I mean, I remember we took him in the studio and we were recording his vocals. First, we tracked his guitar and everything, and he got in the vocal booth, and everybody, you know, all my musicians, they're, you know, Tom Bukovac and all of them, Gordon Moe, all of them, they're just world class, right? And so they've seen a lot of great musicians, a lot of great music. And he starts singing, and everybody just kind of looks around at each other like, oh my, how does somebody sound like that? And I knew that because I've heard him, and some of them haven't heard him before. And I was just like, yeah, I know. I picked him out. This was my idea.
You mentioned John Mayer.
Yeah.
Big inspiration. You've been called the John Mayer of your country music. And stuff. Have you met John Mayer?
I have not. I have not. And I don't want to rush it. I'm excited about it, but I want it to happen very naturally. That's, you know, I don't want it to be like, oh, John, I'm a big fan. I want to come meet you, man. Then it's not going to be as cool to me, you know. It's going to be like a meet and greet, and I don't want it to happen like that.
He does a podcast. Maybe you can.
I would be honored. That would be amazing.
Maybe y'all could do a
from
song.
Your mouth to God's ears.
Let's go
into these cameras, microphone.
Which John Mayer song would you want to do with John Mayer?
Oh, that's so hard. Covered in Rain.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a. He only did it on his live album, the first one, Any Given Thursday. That is such a good song. He wrote that after 9/11. He had just moved to New York, and he had broken up with this girl right after 9/11. And it was just so. And it's like he has like this 5 or 6 minute long solo in the middle of it. Best solo you'll ever hear John Mayer play. It was there's a lot of good ones, but to me, that's just the best.
And you're also earmarked as a young artist with an old soul. When in life did you realize that, man, I think I have an old soul?
Well, I've never really, like, it's never really been like a thought of mine. My mom said it since I was like old enough to, I don't even know if I was talking yet when she started saying that.
Okay.
You know? And she always thought that. And I showed signs of that, obviously. You know, I loved old music. I love old cars. I love old watches and all of that stuff. And I guess I've always been pretty mature for my age. All that stuff added up. But she loves, you know, my mom, she's right there. She's making a face at me. She's worried. You know, she'll get into the, you know, who knows if she believes in reincarnation or not. She's not sure. I don't know if she is or not, but she always said that she believes that I could have been born twice or three times or four times.
Well,
or whatever.
What decade are you pinned in?
I see. That's hard for me.
What kind of cars do you like most? That'll be easy.
I mean, the 60s.
All right. So you were around in the 60s. I could see that vibe. Black leather jacket.
Yeah. I also feel like maybe like the 1880s. That would have been my stuff. I would have loved that. Oh, yeah. I would have thrived in the 1880s.
That's awesome. Who are some other artists in country music that you've looked up to that have helped shape your career?
Oh, gosh. I mean, so many. You know, for me, Chris Stapleton was probably one of the most important artists of our, you know, of the last decade or two. at least last 3 or 4 decades, I would say, because this influence of the kind of pop scene in country music, great, amazing, and a lot of great songs have come from that. But for a while, it was hard for the lane of music that I'm in, mm-hmm, for it to be popular. You know, there were so many artists that were so great that, you know, I believe if they came 5 years later, they would have been just as big as, you know, the rest of them. But it just wasn't, you know, that wasn't the thing, you know, at the time. But Chris Stapleton came in and you know, took, you know, you didn't have to be Brett Young sexy, you know, to, they were, it was, yeah, you know, yeah, there definitely was music, and they realized the raw talent and the, you know, just musical ability, and kind of opened the door for a lot of other people that wanted, you know, to have that sound and that, you know, real bluesy or real anything, real, you know, folky or real songwritery or, you know, some, all kinds of adjectives or you can use. But yeah, I think for me, that's, you know, Chris comes up in my brain a lot for that reason.
And then my next question, have you met him?
No, actually, not like, no, I haven't. I've been like so close to him and like hung out.
How many feet?
Oh, like maybe 15, 20 feet.
I wouldn't say I met him, but I'd be like, I know Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, my very close personal friend, Chris Stapleton.
Because 15 feet, is that close enough?
Yeah,
I mean, that's,
yeah, you know.
That's close enough. Are there any, being that you're already on this large scale stage, but you're only 18, are there any venues along the way that you've booked, but then they found out you were 18 and like, man, well, he can't even come in?
Not recently. That happened a lot when I was kind of younger. I was, you know, I started playing in bars and stuff when I was 12, you know, 11 or 12, and I was with my dad.
What's the logistics of that? Because I can't.
Well, in Texas, you know, there's not as many laws against that as long as you're with a guardian.
Got it.
So,
oh, sweet, dude.
Yeah. So, but like, you know, you're allowed to make your own rules. So yeah. Some people were stricter on it than others. But, you know, my dad knew the manager and the owners a lot of these bars because he had been playing around there for forever. So he helped me kind of get my foot in the door. With a lot of those early, you know, shows and stuff. Those are some of my favorite memories, man. Me and my dad would play for 4 hours, just, you know, back and forth with songs. Just whatever. We never a set list. I don't remember ever having a set list. I mean, we would just, that's whatever awesome you wanted to play. I mean, it was some of my most fond memories. And honestly, one of my, like, the most important things to be able to do that and learn how to do that and get comfortable with that at a young age.
All right, two more. What was the first song you ever wrote? And if you had to record it right now in a professional studio, what would it sound like?
Oh, yes. I wrote, so the one that I, like, the earliest song that I remember being pretty good and like decent, I was like 8 probably.
What?
When I wrote it. And you're going to laugh so
what's
hard.
It about?
It'll laugh so hard. This, the song name is Barroom Melodies. I swear I lived a happy and good childhood and there was nothing wrong. I just had a very vibrant imagination.
That's awesome.
It's a waltz. It was a country song. So
what? You've definitely been alive before, bro.
Yeah.
We just gotta figure out what you were.
You see those videos online where people are having flashbacks to their old life.
Yeah.
Like, we need to figure out how to initiate that. figure out who I was.
What were you doing? Yeah. All right. One more, man. What's going on in 2027? I know we're looking ahead. What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I'm writing all the time. I'm going to go into the studio soon enough here and start working on some stuff. And I'm super excited about it. But, you know, we're just going to be touring and hitting the road hard like we've been doing for the past few years. And that's the way to do it, man. Playing live music, there's nothing better than it. And so, just keep building that and getting bigger and bigger venues and bigger production. And, it's already trending in the right direction for that. So, yeah, just keep grinding, keep writing, keep recording. That's kind of the name of the game. So that's what keeps us all fired up about it. So
I love what you do, man. Love
Thank
the
you
record.
So much.
Yeah, man. Congrats on all the success, dude. Thanks for coming by.
Thank
man.
Y'all.
All right, now we're going to throw it back to a 2024 interview we did with Dasha when she was first coming up on the scene. Awesome. Taste of Country here. We're hanging out with, is it Dasha or Dasha?
It's Dasha. And that, I appreciate you asking because people okay. mess it up.
That's, I didn't want to get like 10 minutes deep and be like, because I don't know. I've heard it differently.
Yeah, okay. I know. Yeah, it's Dasha. People just call me Dash.
And so. That's your middle name.
It is my middle name.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. What were your parents? How'd they come up with that?
My parents are kind of hippies. My aunt called, I wasn't born until 3 weeks after I was or named till 3 weeks after I was born. My aunt called my parents and was like, hey, what about the name Dash? They're like, ooh, we like that, but I want to name my kid a verb. So they put an A at the end, Dasha, because technically it's like a Russian name, like Dasha. So we're pronouncing it right, but we Americanized it a bit. So
wow,
Dasha.
Cool. What was your name before the 3 weeks?
Baby. I was a little baby for 3 weeks.
That's cute.
Yeah, because my parents wanted to like feel my vibe out, which is valid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I mean, I feel like that would be a good stage name as well.
Exactly.
What has shocked you most about the success of Austin?
I think just the sheer just velocity of this rocket ship we're on right now has really blown my mind. I mean, when I wrote Austin, I knew it was going to do something. Because I was like, this is just way too catchy, like, period. Like, what's it going to do? And I was kind of starting this whole new chapter, and I just had a really good feeling about it. But seeing what it did has been the craziest thing ever, because it's just day after day, crazier news is coming in. It's like, how is this still going? It's blowing my mind.
Does the guy that it's about know that it's about him?
He's fully aware it's about him. Okay. Yes. I haven't heard a peep from him in probably over a year. But, okay.
Wow. Yeah. And so the song goes viral and you don't hear a word from the dude?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's almost like,
I know.
I mean, that's almost like a, he's almost like.
He's probably like, damn, you know, which is the reaction I want.
Is he okay? I mean, I'm saying like welfare
check.
He's
like fully has a new girlfriend. So like, I think he's chilling. I don't think he really cares that much. Cause like, I'm not like throwing his name out there, you know, like no one knows who it's about. Cause that's just rude. But I wish him the best. Great guy. I just like, don't need him in my life.
What happened?
Well, the whole song Austin is like a made up version. It's a very exaggerated version of it. Obviously, that's usually what happens with songwriting. I mean, we had like a year and a half situationship. You know what a situationship is?
Yeah.
So like you're not dating, but basically you're dating. He really took the not dating part pretty seriously. So if you know what I mean. Free will on that one. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
So but we moved on.
You've moved on, right?
Yes, I've very much moved on.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there an artist in country that specifically opened the door for you? Has anyone like hit you up and been like, I want to help you out?
Keith Urban did. Yeah, I performed with him during at Spotify House during CMA Fest. And he has been, I mean, getting that text from him that day was like, it was like, hey, Dash. He's called me D, actually. Hey, D, it's Keith, in parentheses, Urban. And I was like, no, I know who you are. Like, all good on the last name there, Humble King.
What?
It was funny. But
Was it a blue text or a green text?
It was a blue text. He wouldn't have an Android. Come on, Keith. He's way too cool for that. don't say that.
I mean, he's a dad. I don't know. He's from another country.
He's cool.
Right?
That's true. He's fair. No, Keith has been super great and so supportive. And he was just really excited to play Austin and seeing him up there, like, ripping on guitar on it, I was like, that's why you wanted to play the song, because you wanted to, like, rip the guitar on it. It was so fun.
he was a big fan of Breland. It seems like he has the finger on the pulse of what's next.
Keith knows what's up. He's very musical, and his taste is so, like, refined. I don't know. He's also just such a good guy and understands the music business so well and has so much joy for it still, which is hard when you've been doing this for so long. And like, so when I met him and we got to hang out at rehearsal for when we played Austin together, I was just like, wow, I really respect this man and like who he is as a musician and artist and a family man. And he's just a great guy, honestly.
What about, okay, let's talk like there's a big surge of females in country music. Who is your favorite?
I mean, I have a ton of favorites. That new song with Ella Langley. She's so cool. I've been like stalking your page. I'm like, this girl knows what's up. She's great. Avery Anna.
Okay.
If you know her. Yeah. Okay, Avery Anna's awesome. We're both at Warner together. Megan Maroney's been killing it. There's a lot of girls that are just killing the songwriting game, specifically more than the guys, I must say. So
that's all. Okay. Yeah. Facts are facts.
Facts are facts.
I recently asked that question to another artist and your name came up.
Really?
It wasn't one of the artists you named. So now you have to add.
Oh my
a new
God.
One.
Wait, hold on. Let me think. I was just thinking of a couple. Wait, who was it?
Go ahead. Told me to hold on.
Well, the girls that I love, like I love Kelsey. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with Kelsey.
Okay.
Is that it? I know Kelsey said what's up in an interview the other day.
So Kelsey Ballerini, now that you got some success under your belt, who are you excited about as a new artist that's coming up?
I love Dasha. Aww. I think she's like having this really cool moment right now.
And here is who Kelsey was talking
about. Oh, Kelsey's the best.
Yeah, have you met her?
Yeah, she's been another of the artists that has been arms wide open, just so supportive towards me and my music and kind of like big sister roles. I've seen her at all the award shows and we've gotten to kind of hang out outside that a few times. And she's just been like such an angel.
Any plans to write with her?
I hope so.
Okay.
I sure hope so. I would love to do a song with her. Absolutely. That'll probably happen.
Who'd you listen to growing up?
Growing up, I was a big fan of Kacey Musgraves. Her songwriting style was the first style that like piqued my ears up with country music. I just love that you could like hear her lyrics like moving your head. You know, you could just see it like a film. And I was like, ooh, I want to write lyrics like that.
Which one? Was there a particular song?
It was the whole Same Trailer, Different Park album. So I was like 11, 12 when that came out. And I was like, damn, I want to write like this. Like, this is sick. Dolly Parton has always been a big inspiration. John Party, my fellow Californian.
Nice.
Keith Urban as a kid. So that's why that was so crazy. Taylor Swift early on, Dolly Parton, I already said Dolly. There's just been like a lot of cool country people that have ignited my songwriting love. Because that's where it all came from.
Have you gotten to meet any of the other ones?
No. Okay. I haven't.
Okay. We got to set that up.
Haven't yet. Yeah.
We saw that you're touring a ton.
Yeah.
Like you're everywhere.
Tour
like,
has started.
How do you have time to like be here or like eat
dinner?
You
caught me on my day off. This is actually my day off. You're welcome.
I'm sorry about that.
No, you're welcome.
What would you normally be doing?
I'm sleeping right now. Okay. It is 9 a.m. So, like yeah.
What's on your tour rider?
My tour rider? Okay. Chomps, beef sticks. I'm a big beef stick girly. We usually do like a veggie platter to get the veggie balance
nice.
In. I've put on my rider, actually, please include like a local yummy, like something yummy.
Oh, nice.
I can't eat dairy or gluten, so it's kind of restricting, but I'm just like, find something delish. Like, I love eating random new things.
Oh, that's cool. So like here it would be like gluten-free hot chicken or something.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, that sounds so good. Do they make that here?
I'm sure. I
need gluten-free hot chicken. I've been like deprived of hot chicken ever since I stopped eating gluten because you can't find it anywhere. It's so frustrating.
Now, do you have celiacs or
no? I'm just like, it hurts my tummy.
I mean,
just gives me tummy aches.
That's celiacs.
I'm not gonna die if I eat it. Isn't that celiac?
No.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
I think you might. I'm no doctor, but my wife has it. I mean, it hurt when she eats gluten. It hurts her tummy.
Yeah.
She has.
Does she have an EpiPen though? Because that's when it's. Actually, I don't know if that's even true.
Do you have an EpiPen?
No, I don't have an EpiPen.
No, you don't need an EpiPen. If you have celiacs, you just get like your stomach hurts for like a little bit, and then like you're good the next day.
Okay,
or a couple
I have
hours.
Celiac disease. Are you happy? What you want?
Did you never have that diagnosed? Okay, all right.
You diagnosed me. This is good.
This is awesome. All right.
Okay.
I mean, so just watch what you eat and don't let your foods get contaminated.
I won't. I promise. Yeah. I'm pretty good at it.
Chick-fil-A doesn't use contaminate their fries.
Really?
So
well, contamination doesn't bug me.
Cross-contamination.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you get a Chick-fil-A fries.
I'd be cross-contaminating all the time.
Well, then maybe you don't have celiac.
See, I don't think I have celiac.
All right. Well, you know.
I'm glad we got to that point.
When you think about artists like that were in pop, you did some stuff in pop. crossing over to country.
Yeah.
What do you think differentiates you from the ones that didn't have success? There's a lot that have fallen flat on their face. You, in your first release, are having success. What's mm-hmm. the difference?
I think what happens in country music is people fall into the mundane and they see what works and they just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. The same cover art, the same production, the same concept for a song, and you're just beating a dead horse. And I think country needed a breath of fresh air so, so badly. And I think me coming in with who I am and my song just kind of, oh, smacked it on the bum a little bit there and ignited
that.
People. At least that's what I've seen just through, you know, these past few months and kind of doing the damn thing. Yeah, it's been really cool seeing how the reaction to Austin, because people are like, this is new. And also, I think it's bringing a lot of like non-country fans into the country world, being like, oh, country can also sound like this.
Yeah.
This is great. I want to know what else is out there, you know?
It is. Yeah, it is. Have you met any of the other artists that like Jelly Roll or Post Malone?
Mm-hmm. Jelly you and Post, yeah.
Oh, let's hear it.
So I met Jelly. I met your CMT Awards. Our trailers were next to each other. I walk in my trailer. I'm about to walk the red carpet. I had that like long cheetah dress on. And I was like, going out of the trailer with my heels on, and his bodyguard was smoking like this fat blunt outside. And I literally was like, God, I want to hit that so bad. But I was like, I can't right now. My eyes can't be red for the carpet. And so I was like, oh, what's up? We said, what's up? And then Jelly walks out and I was like, oh my God, hey. And so we talked for a second. Jelly is so, so kind and his heart is so big. I saw him also after I played the Nissan Stadium. I like ran into him and he was just being like, dude, I played my first stadium last year. It was crazy. Like, you're on fire. Just keep going. And he's just such a supporter. He just wants good people to win. And I really like that mentality. So he's a really great guy. And then Post Malone was at the ACM Awards after we all just kind of like went to the trailers and like played beer pong and drank was and vibed
like,
out.
Was there like Jason Aldean there? Like
uh-huh. more? So that was the after party. It was Post and Jason Aldean and Jelly and who else was playing beer pong?
Oh, I don't know.
And Kane Brown, thank you. And Kane Brown. And I was sitting right next to Post on the bench right there. So it was just like such a fun night. He's such a great guy. He's cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I bumped into him and I was like, hey, I'm Dasha. And he's like, hey, I'm Austin. I was like, yeah, I have a song called Austin. He's like, yeah, I know. And I was like, sick. This is sick. Because wow. I'm such a Post fan. Like his early shit. Like, I can't
cut. Yeah, you're hand. Good.
But he's just, once again, his songwriting and his attitude. And he's so himself in his artistry, which is the hardest thing as an artist to do is be yourself. And I know it sounds really stupid, but there's so many voices all the time that it's so hard to block everything out and be like, no, 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 I believe in myself enough and I'm going to be exactly like this. He's the master at that. And I like really look up to him in that way. And I want to get more like that in my music and my artistry.
I'm in.
Yeah.
That's how he introduces himself as Austin.
Yeah. That's his name.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if he does that to everybody or just fellow people in the industry.
I don't know.
Dang.
Off the stock.
Get him in here. Yeah. Were you worried about like your reception into country music?
I was, honestly. I was just because they're like, this California girl, like, what is she doing making country all of a sudden? And because they didn't know my backstory of like growing up on country and like that's all I wrote and me being obsessed with songwriting and storytelling. Like, they didn't have that context of me when they heard the song. And so I wasn't really sure. But honestly, what really helped is my publicist, Avery, who's here with me today. She like killed the whole storytelling of like me coming to country. And like, I don't think I would have been as well received if she wasn't on the team at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Country star with celiacs from California.
Country star. Kenny Gluten. Breaking news.
Okay. Let me ask you one more. You said that you were going to change the culture of country music.
I said that?
You said that.
When did I say this?
I don't know. To Rolling Stone or something. I'm here to change
sounds
the
like something
culture
I would say. Okay.
Of country music. Can you go into like what detail of what culture are you here to change?
I think, okay, hold on. There's a couple different things I'd like to change.
All right.
Have you seen my merch?
I have not.
Okay. So it's country merch, but there's no O in country.
I
so,
like, okay. I get
so
it.
That is one thing that I have kind of been a big proponent of is taking back power.
Okay.
I should have brought you a hat. Honestly, I was thinking about it. I was like, I feel like he'd want a hat. And I started this merch brand. It's just like my merch, but I thought one, it was a really cool play on words, but also it's about like taking back this word that's been used so in such derogatory terms throughout history towards women and taking it back. And now girls are like, oh my God, girl, you are serving cunt today. Like, you look so good. You look so good, okay. You know? And so it's kind of a play on that of being like, we're taking our power back, you know, like we
I
own
like
this.
It. I love that.
And so it's kind of a narrative on that. And that's how I kind of want to change country music, because right now on the charts, there's like no girls. There's me, thank God. But like, where are the girls at? On the Country Central Power Play rankings, Megan Maroney.
Wow.
That's it. That's literally it. Okay. So like, what's up, guys? You know, what's up?
I love this. What's the secret? If someone was saying, what's the secret to go viral on TikTok?
I think you actually have to genuinely like what you're posting. Because a lot of people post like, oh, this will do well. This will do well. This will do well. It's like, first off, that's exhausting because I've done that before and it sucks. But when I was posting all that Austin content, I was genuinely so excited about it. I loved doing the line dance. I saw the vision. I saw how big this thing could be. And that's what made me so excited to post about it. And even like the visualizer and stuff. Like, I think that's why it turned out so well. That was literally a one take because we only had enough Super 8 for one take. So it's like, if you mess up, girl don't have a visualizer, you know? And so it was like, it was showtime and like stuff like that. I know it's a lot of pressure, but it's fun. Wow. Like, that's what makes art so fun is like, okay, we got to really rely on our training to like pop off right now,
yeah.
You know?
And your album's out, and yeah. You're going on tour. What's next for you, like, to infinity and beyond?
Next? Okay, Dashville, USA, the headline tour. Very excited about that.
I love
you should
it.
Come. Okay. I got you on ticks. Very excited about that. I'm so excited about how fast it sold out. So I feel like the energy in those crowds is going to be, like, really, really fun.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And then I'm going to Europe for some headlines and some festival days.
Are you nervous about that?
A little bit, but okay. I have my first tour bus.
Wow.
The double decker.
That's all.
She's
wow.
gonna be cute. 16 beds. Yeah.
Wow.
I know my dad's already like, can I come?
That's so sweet. Your dad's gonna sub out the bus?
I think my dad's gonna come, yeah.
Okay.
My brother wants to come, my mom wants to come.
Wow.
My parents' dream is like to go on tour with their kids and like help sell merch. But they want a job. That's the funny thing, is like put us to work, which is cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're living it right now. I love to see this. This is
yeah,
great.
Thanks.
Well, that's cool. Well, we love the song.
Thanks.
And I hope people dig into the album. And
yeah, the deluxe version of the album's coming out.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was like,
this summer.
Something.
Yeah,
okay,
there's
cool.
something. I missed that. Oops.
You're good?
Yes. The deluxe version is coming out. Did Not comes out on Friday.
Oh,
my God, this Friday.
It is?
Oh, my God, yeah. I need to post some stuff.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's
yes, comes
right.
out on Friday.
Well, dude, thank Woo! You for stopping by. Hey, you're awesome. All right, I see you get some liners off.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That was awesome. All right, let's bring in Billy Dukes from tasteofcountry.com. Well, we got a lot that happened this past week in country music that I want to go over, and you're the expert, so let's rock and roll.
Slow news week, big concert week, I thought, with Alan Jackson. Then I went and saw Post Malone on Tuesday.
All right, give me the goods on, before we get to Alan Jackson, because neither of us were at Alan Jackson, let me get the good stuff on the Post Malone show, because you went there, you brought your kid. I don't know if we ever talk about you having kids, but whatever, you brought your son?
Yeah, I brought my oldest, and a little bit of a my bad here, because I told him we were going to see Post Malone, Jelly Roll, and Carter Faith. Turns out this is the one show on the tour that Jelly Roll wasn't a part of.
Which I don't understand. If it's Nashville, same. Why he wouldn't show up?
100% agree. It wasn't like he backed out of it. It was clear from the poster, like in small print, like Jelly Roll won't be part of this show. I can't figure it out either. Like, he hasn't played recently. I don't believe he has any Nashville dates on the calendar. Like, this seems to be like the show you'd want to come, you know, the you'd want to play. Nissan Stadium, you know, he grew up kind of watching the Titans play football in Nissan Stadium. I don't understand why he didn't do this show either.
Well, he did. We were talking about in another chat. He did say something about he didn't want to perform in Nashville again until it was at the new stadium. Could that be it?
Yeah, someone told me that he said that. I didn't totally remember him saying that. That feels like an ambitious thing to say, you know, like I'm going to be the first artist at the new stadium, because there's a lot of artists who they might pick for that, you know, unless he had something already kind of cooking. Hometown kid sells out the new Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, because especially maybe. Like he was in like juvenile detention or whatever right across the street.
Right. Yeah, so, it's a great story if that's the case. Yeah. But I don't understand why that would prohibit him, because that Nissan Stadium's not open until 2027. Like, there'd be more than enough time between shows I think he'd still be able to sell that show out or get most bang for his promotional dollar. So that was confusing to me. It was Big X the Plug instead, who, you know, his album and his songs are pretty good. I didn't love his performance, partially because the sound made it difficult to hear him. But also, it was just kind of him and a DJ and, like, playing over his own tracks. Like, you could hear his vocals on the tracks, and he would just kind of sing over that. Like, it was very, like a club show in a big football stadium. And I don't know. I didn't think that was the best presentation of his music.
That makes sense. Was he shirtless?
Part of it, yeah. He took the jacket off midway through. Moved around a little bit. Bailey Zimmerman came out. You know, he's got that album with all those duets. He gave Ella Langley some love. She wasn't there. But then Bailey Zimmerman came out, and they did their song together. And Bailey looked good. You know, he was energetic.
What was the crowd? Was it full?
It filled up, but it was a late-arriving crowd, no doubt about it. Now, part of that is because it was like 95 degrees, and the show started at 7, so I can see people maybe not wanting to go sit in the sun, even though most of the stadium was kind of shaded. Everybody showed up for Post Malone. It was not a great crowd for Carter Faith early. Filled up a little bit for Big X the Plug, but by the time Post Malone took the stage, it looked mostly full. The stage was, you know, sometimes people say they play stadiums and you think like, oh, they filled up an entire stadium. Really, they fill up like 2/3 of a stadium, right? Because you got the stage in one end zone and you can kind of manipulate how much space you want to have for fans by where you put the stage.
Right.
So this was like 2/3 of the stadium, but it looked like all the tickets that they had for sale were gone. I didn't see any empty seats, really.
All right, now the same stadium was the site of the Alan Jackson final concert ever, which turned out to be a night of all nights in country music. It included a weather delay, which is just something to keep, you know, it's something to make it stick even more. And who showed up to that?
I think there was like 16 or 17 guest artists for this. Lainey Wilson, Miranda Lambert, Carrie Underwood, Riley Green, Jake Owen was there, Little Big Town, Luke Combs, Cody Johnson, and I could kind of go on. And I, you know, a lot of times these shows, like there's kind of an established format for these shows that the Alan Jackson show really broke. Like a lot of times it's, you play a cover song, and then you play a song with the artist. And it's just, that's how these, like, televised, made-for-TV. This was a full set of artists covering Alan Jackson, his smaller hits. And then Alan Jackson came on stage, and he played for a full 90 minutes. Gave a full 24, 25 songs, and closed with Where I Come From. So, fan, you kind of almost got two concerts in one. That seemed to be the show to be at. I got to be honest. That looked like a pretty... the emotions of it. There were some great moments between songs. Some cool covers. And I don't think sometimes when it's made for TV, TV interrupts things. Like you have to do a song twice. Like I didn't get a sense that that was the case. So I think it's going to translate really well when it comes to NBC a little bit later this year.
Okay, so my question is, do the artists that showed up to play, were they invited or did they have to kind of invite themselves? And did people that not get the invite, are they mad that they weren't on the list?
Well, I did think that there were some notable artists not there that gave video tributes instead. And I imagine in a lot of cases, they just had conflicts, right? You know, already had a show scheduled and such and just couldn't make it. Kenny Chesney comes to mind. He was a big major star that maybe would have participated in this, but could have possibly been elsewhere. But he gave a video tribute. I believe, I think probably Alan Jackson's team, like, invites the contemporary performers or the people they want to see first. And then from there, they start kind of fielding requests to be a part of the show. George Strait was there, and he actually performed a couple of songs with Alan on stage, which was pretty neat. But there wasn't many of the, like, legendary acts, like Alan's peers, who you might expect to see there. Like, no Reba or no Clint Black or Dolly Parton's a little bit of an older generation than Alan. No Garth Brooks, you know, someone like that that you might have seen. Like so there wasn't much of that sort of legacy, which is kind of interesting to me. I wonder why those artists weren't given the invite or why they couldn't make it.
Maybe they didn't want to upstage Alan. You know, George Strait's enough. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, you don't want to bring Elvis out to a, you know.
I see what you're saying. Like, you don't want the guest artist to be bigger than the headliner. I don't know if, I mean, if it was like, who would have done that? Who's like a modern day, like well, Taylor Swift had the video tribute, but like her presence on stage with Alan would have been probably more talked about.
Garth?
I think Garth would have been appropriate and really kind of boosted. You know what I think it is? It's just Alan kind of worked his career and he was kind of introverted and shy and, you know, he didn't maybe necessarily have as many really, really good friends as maybe some other are. It's not to say he wasn't beloved. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying he didn't really try to work to cultivate a lot of really good friendships. That's just a theory. That's just my theory, and it could be very wrong, but that's one theory.
All right. Well, sounds like it was a good time. Wish we could have been there. Another concert that got... canceled a couple of I think he only canceled one of his tour stops, maybe two. Clint Black, he had emergency medical surgery earlier in the week, and he was just here and he looked fine. What happened to him?
Yeah, something to do with his tonsils, I believe. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and didn't he have vocal surgery? We were talking about in our interview. Like, I don't know if tonsils have to do with that, but that's crazy.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought of as well. He had just talked. Now, the vocal surgeries he's had, I think, were several years ago, and all kind of a result of that bike accident that kind of caused it. So possibly not directly related. He had infected tonsils requiring emergency intravenous antibiotic treatment.
Okay, so that's worse than it sounds. I mean, he got an IV with antibiotics in it.
Infected tonsils, though. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good. What if he had those? Have you seen those videos where people have tonsil rocks?
No.
Dude, look up, y'all, look up tonsil rocks or tonsil stones. Tonsil stones. Apparently, they can get, like, so infected or something that rocks form back there. And people.
Oh, my gosh.
They have to, like pinch them out or something, and then they stink. They stink. That's like a thing that if you know you have tonsil rocks because your breath keeps stinking.
That sounds terrible. I don't have my tonsils, so I don't have to worry about that. I got mine out decades ago.
You did?
Yeah, yeah.
Dang, did you get ice cream?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got plenty of... they took care of me. I was like 9 or 10. I was pretty young.
Dang, I never had to do that. I was waiting for it. You know, I was like, let's go, because I was a little fat kid and all I could think of was just ice cream for days and days. Oh my gosh. Lucky. I can't believe you got to do that, man. Can I get it out as an adult?
I mean, you can also just get ice cream. It's a lot easier and a lot cheaper. You know, because my youngest son had his tonsil out as well. And, you know, that comes with a little bit of a bill.
Oh, yeah, I could imagine. Yeah, yeah. It's probably a lot cheaper to get ice cream.
Just go get yourself the Chick-fil-A's got the new peach shaken. Go grab one, man. They're good.
Well, don't get me started on that. They talk about their milkshake. They put it on the menu as hand spun. I'm like,
yeah.
How else are you going to make a milkshake? You got to hold the thing up to the milkshake maker and it spins it. That's, well, you're right. Using your hand.
Well, I think different from spun? Like the machine that's just constantly spinning it, and then it just sort of dispenses like
that's
the McDonald's milkshake.
That's a I mean, a real milkshake, everybody knows you make it right there with milk and ice cream. I feel like when they say hand spun, that's a reach. They might as well just say a real milkshake.
I tell you what, man, I like that Chick-fil-A, that peach milkshake quite a bit. I look forward to it. It's the one fast food specialty item I look forward to every year.
Oh, I didn't know. Is that it's only temporary?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why they can't get peaches year round, but this is it. We're in peach window.
Oh, okay. How many do you put down a week?
Well, no, I just have one or two throughout the season. I'm not, come on.
You're not stashing like Chick-fil-A gift cards away under your seat in your car and stuff?
No. I go get my one or two and I'm good. I mean, I had one. I might have another. We'll see.
When
it's
you
not
order
that
it,
special.
Well, when you order it, can you say like, can you not hand spin it and see what they say?
Why am I messing with people like that? It's just these kids that are just trying to get through like their job. They're making pretty good money there. They don't have time for like, then I'm the old guy making weird statements in the drive-thru line. You know what I mean? Like, that's weird. That's a weird place to be. I'm just going to get through the line.
Yeah, you're right. I saw a Chick-fil-A hack that I think could work, but I'm too chicken to test it.
Like, we're at that age now where the things that we think are funny when said to teenagers are 9 times out of 10 creepy.
I know. That sucks.
We got to get another 20 to 30 years until we're the cute old man. But right now, we're just anything we say, so we just got to play it straight around those teenagers.
Yeah, like how old is Randy Travis? He gets to put his hand on people's legs when they take pictures.
I don't know. Randy must be, he's in his 60s somewhere.
All right, so we're getting there. We got a couple more decades, and then we'll be able to be creepy. Awesome. Well, this podcast really took a turn. It sure
took a
did.
Turn. Yeah,
but
yeah,
that's you know, you never know what to expect. Next week on Taste of Country Nights on Demand, we have a person, a kid. I mean, he's a kid. He just turned 16. He's taken over the internet in country music. Maddox Batson is stopping by, and then we also have a guy with. Probably, I would say, the top-rated mustache in country music so far right now that I've seen, Tyler Nance. He's got one of those Raleigh Fingers ones that curls up at the end. He's going to be stopping by as well. We got a lot of good stuff coming up here. Some big interviews coming up, too, down the road. Thanks for checking out Taste of Country Nights on Demand.